my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it's one of our newest patrons and a local lad to myself, Sargy, Dave. So he's very much knows me. I have some good chats with him about where we live and different places we grew up around Manchester. And he's picked an absolute classic, Dave, pre-New Year's Eve movie. So we're in that in-between stage of Christmas and New Year as this comes out. I think it's actually, is it Christmas, just after Christmas Day this comes out? This is 27th it comes out this?
It comes out for the Patreons on Christmas Day. So
Merry Christmas, guys. And what better way to celebrate Christmas than us covering the fucking Predator, Dave. Absolute iconic Christmas movie. I love it. And then we talked about this last week. Me and you have never actually sat down and done this as a podcast. So, Comics in Motion, obviously, we wouldn't do it on the VHS if we wouldn't do it twice. But I've obviously done it with Matt from Jasper Review Dinner, Dave, when there was a bit of a, I think you'd be working, there was an SOS course where I came in. We've done Predator Minute as well, me and you.
Minute 89.
We studied that one. That was a great episode as well. So this is going to be really good as doing this one. We've done loads of Arnie ones. Obviously, Commando, Dave, was your first Arnie pick. One of the first episodes we did. So I'm really looking forward to this one. So what do you remember about this one, Dave? Or when did you first start watching it?
Well, I was a big fan of Arnie. You know, I think the first thing I saw him in was Conan. And, you know, we covered that. I don't think you like the, well, you just generally don't like the sword and sorcery stuff, but I loved it. You know, saw him in Terminator as well. So I was a big fan of him and Sly back in the 80s. And when this came out, I remember watching it on video. And you know what, Chris? I didn't love it the first time. Because I think it was just a bit much. Now, it was an 18, wasn't it? And I look back now and I'm like, well, compared to some of the more gruesome, certainly the horror movies that you get now, it's quite tame. But I remember that bit where they find the green berets and they're all skinned and upside down and stuff. It's like, fucking hell. You know, it's like something out of Hellraiser or something. So I thought, fucking hell, I'm not sure I like this. But, you know, it was kind of okay. And then it was more so years after, or not years after, but just watching it regularly over the last, you know, couple of decades or whatever, and then just loving it more and more. I'm not a massive fan of, I don't think, any of the sequels, to be honest, though I'd have to go back and watch them as well. But the more that I go back to this one, the more, honestly, I absolutely love it. And I just think it... Yeah, well, actually, no, I'm going to stop there before I just ruin everything. But there's probably going to be no prizes for guessing where I'm going to send this one already. I just think it, if I look back and think of the great Arnie movies, I mean, obviously, I love Commando, but I think this one, I think this one, for different reasons, is a little bit better. But Chris, how about yourself?
Well, it's funny. I've probably told this story, but and don't worry, it doesn't involve me throwing my shoulder out or anything before anyone starts like laughing and going, here we go. But for me, I remember having this. I was at my nan's in Old Trafford, and my cousin was 15, 16. He just started going to the gym, and he got into like, he was doing stuff at home, and he got into like doing bodybuilding and that. And this is my cousin who I ended up training with, like when I was younger, and that, going to gyms with, and that got me into training and that. And I just remember him having all these videos. So I reckon around about 1990, 1991. Possibly, because my cousin and his sister were living with my nan and granddad at the time. And he had all these, and he's like, we're going to watch him. And I think I have told this story about me having been forced to watch Arnie movies with him. But this wasn't one that, I agree with you, this wasn't one of my favourites. Like, my favourite was always like The Running Man. I like Commando. What else he had? Raw Deal was an underrated one as well. We've never done that. That's a cracky movie as well. That was a proper violent movie at the time. but just never, and obviously Terminator, you know, Terminator 1 and 2, I think that Terminator was the first one he introduced me to. And then it was like, we went through the back catalogue and he had all of them on VHS. It's like, you're watching them. So I sort of was introduced to Arnie, but I never really took to Predator with you. The VHS cover's iconic. However, and we're going to absolutely be a pair of fucking fluffers for each other today, Dave, but I'm in agreement. I think this as it's got older, and it's an 80s movie, it's nearly 40 years old, it's just brilliant. I think it's just such a better movie than what I give it credit for. I mean, Running Man is still one of my favourite Arnie ones ever, and probably T2, it would be, and Pumping Iron. But this is just, when you watch it now, it's just got everything in it other than that wank Heidi High bit at the end when everyone's just hi, Shane Black, hi, you were impaled earlier. I'm okay, though. It's just the film. You know, I don't like that bit at the end at all. It's fucking bullshit. But no, I love Arnie, and I love the fact that we're going to be doing a double bill of Arnie, Dave, as we go into the new, you've got this one and the next one, they're going behind the curtain. So I'm looking forward to this. I am looking forward to what we think about it and actually doing it properly for the VHS Strikes Back. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Very good. And Chris, obviously, because we're all in the Christmas spirit, or if you're listening to this after, probably had a bit too much turkey and whatever, and maybe sick of Christmas already. But there was an early Christmas present, I think, especially for you. Because, Chris, on Instagram, Lauren Avedon posted, is the right word, isn't it? He posted a picture of him and Keith Vitale. And the post says, "My blood brother, Keith Vitale, we're actively looking for a script and funding for a new Blood Brothers film. Three generations of fans. It's a slam dunk, guaranteed moneymaker." Not sure about that, Lauren. But says, "We're going to bring back ground pounding martial arts action in film. If you're a serious investor and realize this is a great opportunity, DM me." Now, Chris, I remember when I first went away, moved away at 18 and whatever, played a bit of guitar, and, you know, I remember I couldn't be arsed, like, networking to try and find a band or anything, so I just went to the guitar shop, put myself a little advert up there, you know, guitar player seeks drummer, singer, lead guitarist, like everything.
With own gear, must be able to take me to every gig.
Must
I can't
have
drive.
PA and car.
Oh, we've been there, Dave, haven't we? Fucking, yeah, I know that. I've took fucking loads of fucking musicians who couldn't drive to gigs and that, yes.
So it seems like Mr. Avedon's maybe got a little bit excited there about the guaranteed moneymaker part when he doesn't have a producer or any backing whatsoever, and he's asking for people on Instagram to DM him for funding. I think he's probably watched the last Kumite trailer, hasn't he, and thought, oh, I'm in here.
Yeah, I agree. And to be fair, Dave, yeah, I didn't see it initially, but Max, our great friend Max Benny, actually WhatsApped me and said, "Mate, check this out." And I was like, yeah, I'm in. The only problem is they're both the wrong side of 60. So I know Lauren Avedon's seen Fingy recently as well. Scott Adkins in America. Scott Adkins was over there and they were in the car together, well, maybe about 6-7 months ago. And I could believe Scott Adkins being his son, one of the Alexander brothers, son there.
Yeah.
And then they come in and just do a few fucking kicks here and there. I'd buy that. Or they have the two, maybe, you know, what they call the Casey's Lauren Avedon. So say he's Casey, and he's got, you know, Scott Adkins, but then you've got the female, the girl is the actual daughter of Keith Vitale's fucking character or whatever. But I could buy that. I'm not buying these two. We're just going to come out of retirement and start dancing around like fucking gazelles again, doing fucking free running up that scaffolding like the first one. But I'll watch it. I'll be there. And if they need backers, Dave, I think I will actually open the wallet for that one. I'd back that if it was going to be a movie. But also, I'd have to offer my services as an actor as well, Dave. Just throw it in there. Yeah. If they want to, you know, a Patrick Swayze type guy from Wish, then I'm happy to jump in there, Dave, and fucking be like an extra or something, or somebody gets beat up by Lauren Avedon. I'd take that.
Well, I think if they did do anything, it would be via Kickstarter, I'm sure. Yeah. And then it wasn't Last Kumite, but it was something else that Cynthia Rothrock did that the name escapes me. But you could go on and you could back yeah. at a certain level and be in the movie. And then obviously the more yeah. you would back, you know, the more money you would put down, the more prominent your role was. So, yeah. you know, to even, I'm sure it was like you could even be a henchman. It only cost you something like $5,000 or something like that. But if they did anything, it would be that. So I would think,
yeah.
but I don't think Lauren's figured out Kickstarter yet, which is why he's asking people to DM him on Instagram.
This sounds like one of the harebrained schemes I ring you about and go, Dave, we can make money quick. You're like, okay, we can give our jobs up. And you're going, hang on a fucking minute. What are you talking about?
It's basically the McFly. Yeah, it's our Patreon yeah. level.
Give us $10,000 and we'll take you to Vegas and then that'll be it. Yeah, no, and we'll have a great time and we'll podcast out there. That was a great, you know what? I used to make me laugh when we had that as one of the Patreon levels. That was amazing, wasn't it? That was the pinnacle. And we'd wake up one day and it'd just be there. I mean, we were like, well, I'm sorry, I'm saying, Sam, sorry, Sam, I'm going to Vegas.
I'm sure I've said it before, podcasting. But if there was some, you know, billionaire backer who wanted to take us to Vegas, I think I'd ask some questions. I don't think I'd be that keen to go, to be honest.
Listen, Dave, if someone wants to take us to Vegas who's a billionaire, all you got to remember is two things. Don't look each other in the eye and think about where we are, okay? That's all you've got to worry about. We never mention it again, we but we had a great it, fucking yeah. trip. Yeah.
And on that note, sir, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
We are a rescue team, not assassins. Now, what do we gotta do?
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
We pick up their trail at the chopper, run them down, grab those hostages before anybody knows we were there.
What do you mean we?
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Showtime, kid.
Knock, knock.
An elite rescue squad.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Is being led by the ultimate warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
What's got Billy so spooked?
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
They're up against the ultimate enemy.
Holy Mother of God.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
She says the jungle just came alive and took him.
We cannot see it.
No blood, no bodies. We hit nothing.
But it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
It kills for pleasure.
He was skinned alive!
It hunts for sport.
He's killing us one at a time.
We're all gonna die.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger. Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
Vietnam War veteran Major Alan Dutch Schaefer and his military rescue team, consisting of Mac, Poncho, Blaine, Billy and Hawkins, are tasked with rescuing a foreign cabinet minister and his aide from insurgents in an unspecified South American country. CIA Officer Al Dillon, a Vietnam War buddy of Dutch's. Dillon.
John Helium. Dillon.
A Vietnam War buddy of Dutch's is assigned to accompany the team over Dutch's objections. En route, the team discovers the wreckage of a helicopter and three skinned corpses. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, you know what, Dave? I'll be honest. When I put it on again the other day, yesterday actually, I was like, have I got the wrong fucking film here? Because I don't know why, but I always forget about the little Star Wars fucking spaceship. Yeah. I always forget about it. I genuinely thought, oh, fuck me, is this one of them fucking Alien v Predator movies? Which some of them are actually pretty good. Or is this one of them the fucking dodgy parody ones? You know, yeah, is it the porn one? You know what I mean? Fucking Dutch means something else in this one. But yeah, it just, and I'm like, oh, no, it's not. And then, you know, it clicks. But we get into the first bit. I've got to say, Arnie in this, like how they get away with the one-liners, which basically this movie makes him like, you know, I'll be back is the one, but I know that gets to the choppers his favourite. However, his fucking lines from the minute dot are so Christmas cracker dad joke, aren't they? So cheesy, but they fucking work. And I will say, Dave, I don't know about you, but like Arnie's chiseled in this, isn't he? I know he said he had something about 25 pounds. He looks amazing. His arms are fucking huge. But it's funny as well because he's not had his teeth done yet at this point. So they're a little bit crooked, his teeth at the start. Now, I know it sounds daft, that it's something I've never noticed before. It doesn't really fucking matter. He's Arnie and he's awesome. But just that bit when you've got Carl Weathers there in the bar, hasn't he? And he's just sat there and he's talking to that guy about like why they've come and all this. Dave, it's pure fucking cheese and I'm here for it. I fucking love the start of this movie. It's so good. The fucking machismo, as fucking Razor Ramon used to say in the wrestling days, I'm oozing with machismo. The fucking, it's so camp as well, but also so fucking manly. I fucking love it.
It is probably one of the most macho movies that has ever been committed to screen, isn't it? You know, it's just, and that attempt at the old Dylan is from when he obviously meets Carl Weathers, and he's like, what's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils. And I will apologize now. There will be lots of quotable Arnie impression lines because, like you say, they're all out the Christmas cracker, but so, so quotable. And I'm with you, Chris. The intro, I've seen this movie so many times, but I always have a kind of blind spot from the fact that you see the space shuttle at the start. And it's like, I don't know how I feel about that. I'd quite like this to be just, you know, dropped into the jungle and then it to be a complete turn. And Chris, I was watching an interview with Robert Rodriguez and he talked about when he did From Dusk Till Dawn, he was thinking of Predator because the absolute change, right, because it goes from this action movie to this sci-fi horror movie. And I was like, you know what? I hadn't even made that comparison in my own head before. But he's right. You know, it's kind of what it does, doesn't it? Because it is just a pure action movie. This could be like Missing in Action or something. Up until, and you get some little hints that, you know, the predators out there. You get the predator vision, don't you? You know, the heat vision. But, you know, probably the first hour of this movie, the Predator doesn't really feature that much. So I just love the like you say, the machismo and the pure cheese that just comes out of the screen. Like the handshake with Arnie and Carl, you know, is probably the maddest thing you've ever seen, isn't it? And I love the backstories as well. We'll get into like Jesse the Body Ventura as well, like, apparently, when they were on set, you know, it was all like competitions, and everyone was just trying to don't really work out, and they were sneaking off to the gym to work out, you know, before anyone else got up, kind of thing. And Arnie, he's a prankster, isn't he? So he told the people at wardrobe to tell Jesse that Jesse's got bigger arms. And so Jesse was like, we should have an arm measuring contest. And so they bet Arnie's like, yep, I've got him. So they bet a bottle of champagne. So obviously measured arms and Arnie's were bigger. But honestly, Chris, I just absolutely love this movie. I could watch it almost straight after watching it again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm the same. You're reading all the trivia. I love the fact that this movie was born out of a comment, someone saying, who the fuck is Rocky going to fight next? Alien. And someone said E.T. And that's how this movie was created after Rocky IV. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I never even knew that. I was just reading the trivia. That is unbelievable.
This is basically the next iteration of Ivan Drago. It's bonkers, isn't it?
It's fucking bizarre. It's bizarre. And like the trivia on this, when we all, and there's loads of trivia. Everyone knows this. So we're going to trip over ourselves. But one of the biggest trivia ones was Van Damme. He was the Predator. Originally too small, bit of a whiny. There's a few pictures of him on set in there with Arnie and stuff. And then the suit was too big. He couldn't maneuver, but he was too, I mean, he's 5'9". And then they get that Kevin Peter Hall, who's 7'2". Yeah.
He just done Harry and Henderson's.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And then you've got Van Damme there with his fucking jock strap on, fucking doing the splits. Because they wanted him to be agile, didn't they? But it wouldn't have looked right because Arnie, officially supposed to be 6'2", but I think in real life he's probably about 6'6.5", I think. But you always say he was 6'2". So even he'd have towered over Van Damme if they were together. So there would have been some trickery on the camera. So just having an imposing figure at 7'2" just makes complete sense because it's an alien breed and stuff. So I don't think the shots would have been good from tree to tree because they said that, didn't they? He was doing some of that stuff, but it wouldn't have worked that for me at all. So I'm just glad they made that decision, to be honest.
Yeah. And have you seen the pictures as well of Van Damme in the suit?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You've got this pink kind of, it looks like a naked Zoidberg from Futurama. It's weird. It just looks terrible. Now, I can only think they were going to add some special effects on after that. That couldn't have been the actual Predator they were going to commit to the theater screens. But yeah, it's a bit of a mad one, isn't it, that Van Damme was there. But I tell you what, the guy whose name you just mentioned, I don't have him to hand, who actually plays in the Predator, what an absolute star. Because the way he moves, the acting that he conveys in the Predator suit is unbelievable. Because I'm watching it and I'm not thinking it's the guy in a suit. I am thinking that is the actual Predator. But I mean, what do you reckon though to the rescue scene initially? In fact, Chris, even before that, the fact that you get the intro when the chopper comes in and it brings, you know, Dutch in with his rescue team before he even meets Dylan, and you've got the Predator music going again. You've got the absolutely brilliant, yeah. Brilliant setup. But I mean, there's a fair bit of action. Just rescue it. You know, they find the Green Beret's skin, don't they? They start to smell a rat. Something's going a bit off here. I think Dutch is starting to suspect Dylan, you know, he's not on the level. But then I actually really like the kind of rescue scene. I think there's plenty going on here. And this is where you get another line, isn't it, from Jesse the body, because Poncho says to him, "You're bleeding." So oh, I ain't got time to bleed.
Yeah.
And
brilliant.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. And you've got Blaine with this ridiculous, impractical Gatling gun, but so iconic, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's in this next film we did last week as well, Dave, wasn't it? Because Lee Majors had that gun. Yeah, Screws. So you know, it's a little segue there again. The link slightly. It is. It's too big. It's too heavy. But I mean, I know there is a bit of an inappropriate line he says, isn't there, Jesse the body, when he's in the thing?
Yeah,
but then he
yeah.
says, "Well, I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus." But because obviously it's of its time. But I love the long tone, Sally, Dave, Little Richard, the helicopters. It just sets it up. And you're right. That whole. And I've never thought about that. It's really making me think now, because I remember watching Dust Till Dawn for the first time. My cousin had it on video, and I said it when we covered it. And we sat there, and he didn't tell me, and one of his mates were there, I think he was. It was two of us who'd not seen it, and two of them had, and we're all there having a drink. I was like 16, 17. And then the switch. I was enjoying the film as it was. I was thinking, oh, she's really good. Didn't really know much about Tarantino other than like Reservoir Dogs, the little bits, because obviously it wasn't really readily available unless you got a bootleg copy at that point. I remember going, I was just, my jaw was on the floor, was like, holy fuck, what is this movie? And I love Dust Till Dawn, but I've never actually got that connection. But now you've said it, it makes perfect sense, because this is, by all means, this is like a fucking normal Viet Cong sort of movie, isn't it? They go into behind enemy lines, they go and rescue somebody, they fight within an inch of their life, they're going to lose some of the crew, but ultimately they're going to get away. I mean, even you can even say like Missing in Action, Chuck Norris sort of, you know, whatever the troop is, that the trope, that's what you got. But yeah, the switch. But it is like when that Billy sees the fucking dead bodies and the skinned and everything.
Yeah.
Some good effects there. Some really good effects and that. And it's really good. And then when they sort of inherit the girl as well, you know, don't look like she's that fucking dingy, Dave. You know, very pretty girl. You know, she don't look like she's been that destitute, does she, really? They never get that right in these movies. But she sort of comes along for the ride, doesn't she? And Carl Weathers has got her, and Dylan's got her with, and she gives him a bit of a dig. But that's when they can see Billy hears something, doesn't he? Mm. And then it's like there's something's following or something's going on. They've got that, like, extra sense that they're being watched and everything. And this is where, like, initially you get to the point where they rescue him and all that, and they get all the action and they're killing people. Because that's when Arnie, what does Arnie say? He says one of his fucking lines to one of the soldiers, doesn't he?
Knock, knock.
Oh, that's it. No. And then he says something else. And it's just like, how are you getting out? And he went, and he improvised that. And I'm thinking, he's not Robert De Niro improvising a whole monologue. He's just going, knock, knock. You know, it's just like, that's what I mean. It's just like, stick around. Yeah. You know, like one of them. And he says it, he was apparently improvised by Arnie. Wow, fuck me. I can imagine him being gutted. He missed out on the fucking the award at the Oscars for that, you know. But Arnie's at his best when he's just doing mean and moody one-liners, isn't he? And he's just the dialogue. I have said it before, like Keanu Reeves. I find Keanu Reeves a really difficult actor. If you go past two sentences, I find that he hasn't got a range or anything. It's just, that's his acting. Stallone's got it. Stallone's actually a very underrated actor, and he's done a lot of, like, the Rocky monologues. You know, I've got that big thing he says in Rocky Balboa. I love that, and it's a cliche now. A lot of people have it, but I've got that in my house in two different frames, one in the gym and one in the house, because I love that whole thing. But Arnie's never going to do that. I mean, I've seen speeches of Arnie's where he does, I always love the line where he says, you'll never climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets. I'm pretty certain he had a right to do that. It's not, he's just come up with that, but it's a really powerful line. But in movies, he isn't at his best. And at this point, he's all about the muscles, isn't he? The muscles, the haircut, that, you know, he's got the cigar. He's just basically an absolute cliche at this point. But it works, because you cannot have him just saying loads of dialogue. It never works with his accent for me.
No, but you know what? I think he's slightly underrated in terms of his acting. I mean, this plays to his strengths, doesn't it? Like you say, with the one-liners and stuff. But I don't know. After watching some of the movies we've watched, it's given me an appreciation for Arnie's actual acting. I think he just does what he does very well. You know, he's not going to do Macbeth or something, is he? But, you know, I think he's perfect in this. And like you say, with the one-liners, this is your cheeseburger, isn't it, of movies. It's just so much fun. Like I say, all of the different kind of relationships between the different members of the team and the things that are going on there. I think the more I watch it, the more I like that kind of band of brothers camaraderie side to it as well. And, you know, each member of this crack squad has got their very distinctive personalities. You know, you've got Shane Black's character. It's not Poncho, is it? It's... what's his name?
He's got like a white collar name. I mean, I've got to tell you his name now.
Hawkins.
So
you've got Hawkins, and he's telling Billy, he's trying to get Billy to laugh with his shit pussy jokes. And, you know, he's just, he finally cracks it at the end. Well, not at the end, but, you know, he eventually gets him, and that it's a little sound sample that the Predator puts in his pocket. He's gonna use that one later. And then, well, actually, I'm going to speak about Blaine and Mac a little bit later, Chris. But, you know, all of the different relationships that they have, I really like that. And every time, I tell you, it takes me back to when I'm watching this, I'm thinking, well, you know, a couple of these might die, but generally they're going to come out unscathed and they're going to kill off the Predator. No. they all get decimated. Now, when Hawkins goes, you're like, he's not been that prominent. And, you know, because he made the jokes and stuff, but he sort of looked a bit out of place, didn't he? Like, you've got the rest of them, you know, are absolute beefcakes. And you can see Shane Black is just a normal guy. And when he gets taken out, you're like, oh, right. Well, he's the Star Trek red shirt, essentially. But then it all starts to go to shit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's funny to say that because I know we all do it subconsciously, but when you watch a movie, you already know who's going to get fucking killed, don't you? You already know within the first – you watch Scream or someone like – we just watched the most recent Scream in New York. I didn't mind it, actually. I thought it was all right. But you sort of look at the these new characters bringing and go, well, you're definitely dying at some point in this movie, but we don't know how. How are you going to get there? And you can see off the team, you're right, how they get picked off. And there's a few of them, like, you're thinking, well, Dylan's a bit sneaky and he's a bit of a weasel, really. You know, he's got them there under false pretenses. He wants to go on this assignment with him. And obviously, Dutch had said to him, like, we work alone sort of thing. But then you're looking at the other one, so you can tell that, like, Billy at some point is going to meet his maker. And I know that Sonny Landon, he's one out of 48 hours, but I didn't realise in the trivia, they hired a bodyguard, not to protect him, Dave, but to stop him from fighting with people because he's fucking, because of his violent outbursts. Really? Now, he always looks like that. Yeah, he's a fucking maniac, he was. So he always looked like that. Then he, with his acting, and 48 hours, he always looked like, in real life, he could fucking go a bit. But yeah, apparently he just loved fighting, so because he was so violent. So, yeah.
I thought Billy would survive it, weirdly. I mean, he's the kind of, I mean, slightly racist, I think, isn't it? Because he's the Indian in the camp. Yeah. So he's got this sixth sense, you know, and is at one with nature and stuff. And when Billy makes his stand, you know, I'm thinking, oh, Predator, you're going to at least take some lumps here. No. You just hear this blood-curdling scream, and he's taken out in an instant. And so, obviously, there are a few more deaths before that, but I think, Chris, I've got to get to it. One of the things that I noticed this time that I've never noticed before is when Blaine gets taken out, so Jesse the Body Ventura, and what special effects as well. You just see the, you know, his entire chest is blown through. I think he looks really good, the way they got his ribs kind of sticking out there. Mac's reaction, I saw it a little bit different this time, and it made me think that there was something more than just a brothers-in-arms type relationship. Because think about it, in the job that they do, you know, your comrades kind of falling and you know, being killed off and whatever, it's part of the job, you know, and remembering your training and, you know, buckling down and stuff. Blaine gets killed, Mac fucking loses it. He absolutely goes mental. And then, you know, he's trying to get the Predator, and he's singing Long Tall Sally, you know, which is Blaine's song. And you know, when he obviously try and chase him, and then he sees the Predator's eyes, and you know, he's like, what the fuck's that? Because they've been giving the girl a bit of stick, hadn't they, because she couldn't explain what she actually saw. And then when Dutch says to him, you know, he was a good soldier, and he says he was my friend, I was like, hang about. Is there something more here? You know, I know it's kind of a bit camp and stuff, but, you know, is there a bit more of a relationship between Blaine and Mac? And I had a quick Google, and there are other people speculating the same on the old interwebs. I mean, you can basically find any opinion that you want, so if you look hard enough. But, yeah, I was quite surprised. I'd never noticed that before.
No, and what you did, and you're making this out like you're some sleuth, which you were, because I'd never noticed this. You then told me this before I started watching it, and I was like, I don't understand what he means. And then I'm looking for like this relationship, and I was like, and then I got it. I was like, oh, he's fucking right. And I went online then, Dave, looking, and it's very subtle. It's brilliantly like portrayed, but it's very, very subtle that. But yeah, there is the theory that they were actually in a relationship, which is interesting. So And that's something in the mid-80s, Dave, that wouldn't have even been in a movie like, you know, with Arnie or anything. However, is it something subliminal that they've put into the scripts? Really good spot, that. Really, really good spot.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It would have had to have been a secret relationship, wouldn't it? It's very machismo kind of situation that, you know, that they're in this crack squad, you know, this bunch of ex-Vietnam War veterans and stuff. You know, it just wouldn't have been on the cards. And, you know, Jesse the Body or Blaine, even as early as in the helicopter, he's going on about being a sexual Tyrannosaurus. He's basically, you know, protesting a little bit too much. And so I've not seen, I don't think, this is purely a fan theory, I think. You know, I don't think I've seen any of the filmmakers sort of speak about it. But yeah, it's one of those, I'm not going to be able to unsee that now.
Yeah, and you know what though as well? It's sort of like when you get these sort of movies, and bear in mind the dialogue that Blaine says, you know, which is quite homophobic. Well, it is homophobic as well.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, is this like an American Beauty type thing? You know, like the dad in American Beauty where he's so homophobic, isn't he? And he's always using like derogatory terms, but then it turns out that he's actually gay himself and he's been hiding it for all these years, you know. So yeah, I don't know, it did get me thinking there, and I was like, that's a great spot, and it's not a rabbit hole I wanted to go down when I was watching Predator, Dave, but I did stop the movie to investigate that. So yeah, good one, mate.
I hope it is true. I hope it's like a little nugget, yeah, that they've snuck in there that hardly anyone's noticed, and then it's, you know, so many years later you're like, oh wow, you know,
I get it. Yeah,
yeah, I get it now. So, I'm guessing plenty of people have probably discussed this before, but like I say, up until watching it this time, never spotted it, and then it was just through going on a bit of a rabbit hole on Google and what have you. But I mean, do you have any favorite kills in particular? Because when it comes down to mono on mono, you know, then the film kind of switches gears, doesn't it? But it's only about an hour in, and basically Dutch's squad is decimated, and, you know, he's getting chased by the Predator. That's when we get the, go, get to the chopper. That's when you get that line, and the girl kind of goes off. Every time I think Poncho's going to make it, even though he's, you know, he's injured and stuff. Nope, gets a laser to the head. He's gone as well. But any particular favourite kills, Chris?
I think when Dylan gets his arm ripped off, and then obviously I'm being lazy now, Dave. But is that the whole point in what's the bloody golf one where he's in? Is that the whole point where he's got Abby a false Gilmore. Hand in Abby Gilmore? Is it like a nod to Predator because he misses his arm? But I always remember watching it being gutted for Carl Weathers because he was so ripped, thinking, oh, what a waste of a fucking muscly arm that is, you know, because he's been ripped off. But you knew that Dylan was going to either double cross Dutch and him and Dutch would have a fight, or he would end up, he's got to be killed because he's one of them characters, you know, straight away, you might have like someone says something to someone and you know straight away in these like horror movies, they're definitely gone because they've just been a bit of a dick there, you know, or they're not a good person. So they're definitely going to be meeting their maker. So with him, he's not really a redeemable character, but that bit when his arm comes off and everything's fucking me. Because the girl, and obviously there's a couple of scenes where the girl is there, and when Hawkins gets killed, Shane Black, and she doesn't, but she ends up with the blood, that's what they discover. And they're blaming it on her, aren't they, at first? And it's like, she's not fucking done that. She's about 6 stone piss wet through. So, yeah, I think it's when they discover that they're actually being hunted, and then it realizes it's a one-by-one thing. And when he replicates Billy's voice as well, you know, with the voice boxing, like the laugh, doesn't he? And then it's like, that's when Billy goes. So, yeah, I think probably Carl Weathers is the one that does for me.
To be honest, I was going to pick that one, but I'm going to pick a different one then. But what I love about the Carl Weathers one is the fact that, you know, I don't love the shot. It's a bit like, you know, when, I don't know, you used to see people pretend like they're stabbed with a sword or something and they've just got it underneath their arm. The shot of it just didn't look great, I think. But it's the fact that, you know, he has the arm come off. He's been a bit of a dick anyway. And he sees the Predator running around and he's like, you can see it in his eyes. He's like, what the fuck is that? And then the Predator just gets out those iconic blades and just lifts him right off his feet. And you're like, holy shit. But I think with all of these kills, because the thing is, this band of brothers, this crack squad, are basically the best of the best, aren't they? They are so great.
Yes.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go to Mac. I mean, it was a fairly quick death, but I mean, he went from weirdly this manic guy singing his Long Tall Sally to, you know, and this is before Dylan gets killed, isn't it? Just before, where he's kind of like, he's up in those trees. And then, you know, so you can see he's used to this. So he's become the hunter, or that's what he thinks. And he's moving stealthily through, and he thinks he's got this predator, but he's not. You know, his predator's got him and just blows his brains out. And so, you know, really quite that shot I did like. That was quite a gruesome shot. And I think with each of these kills, like say, you're thinking basically all of these guys are so good at what they do. And it's just building up more and more the fact that this predator is something else, and just like, how the hell are they going to overcome it?
Yeah, and I think as well, one of the things with Mac, Dave, is the iconic fucking razor on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he cuts himself, doesn't he? Because obviously, he's been in a few Arnie films. He was in Commando as well. You know, he's been in quite a few. Yeah, I think he's in Running Green Man Beret, as well. So. Yeah, yeah.
So Arnie eats green berets for breakfast, and right now I'm very hungry.
Apparently, yeah. But no, you're right. I think what's interesting is the music changes when it switches to them actually being hunted. They've gone from being the hunters to the hunted, and it's a force that no amount of fucking steroids or fucking muscle or machine guns is going to stop them. One of the best bits in the movie, which is fucking stupid for me, and it goes on for far too long, is when I think it's Max sees the fucking alien, doesn't he? Like the silhouette of the predator. And then they're all just firing. They're supposed to be on this quiet recon, aren't they, to rescue someone? And they're all just firing about 500 to 1,000 fucking bullets being fired at the trees and everything, aren't they? And they're just like Gatling guns going. I know I'm going back a little bit. And you're just like, you're not supposed to be in this fucking jungle. You might have killed these people, but I'm pretty sure their mates are coming and you're there. And there's no mention of the fucking people they've killed. It's like, oh no, forget about that. The predator's now getting us. But that must have made the biggest noise. And what a waste of ammunition as well. It's fucking stupid, that bit. Because I was even like to Arnie to go like, you know, Dutch to go, right, just stop, you know, and all this, stop, you know, wasting bullet. And he goes, ah, fuck it, I'm getting involved. And he just starts fucking spraying everyone. It's fucking weird. I think he's supposed to signify that if one of them's firing bullets, there must be a reason. But yeah, it goes from like where it should be to like, oh, fuck it, let's just go over the top and waste all our ammunition in case we, you know, because we're never going to come across any other militia while we're out there. It's fucking stupid.
Well, it's like a game, isn't it? You'll simply carry on through the levels and you'll pick up ammunition as you go along, I guess, in the middle of the jungle. But it is ridiculous, but so iconic. It looks great, doesn't it? Because you've got the tree, the plants and vegetation and stuff being shot down and stuff. But yeah, it is ridiculous because you've got this cracked squad of commandos, you know, cool as a cucumber under pressure. And then because Max got the Gatling gun and because Blaine's been taken out, they're like, fucking hell, shoot. one bit that I all of it's ridiculous, right? But one bit that sort of bugs me is basically Arnie's fucked, isn't he? I mean, he gets shot. And we've seen basically when Blaine got taken out by the laser, his whole chest, it just exploded his whole chest. Arnie gets hit in the shoulder, a little bit of a graze. I'll have to run that one off. So I don't love that, but he obviously drops into the water and you're thinking, oh shit. And I do love the moment when the predator drops into the water and his kind of cloaking device starts to falter a little bit. And Arnie's just trying to get away. He's in the mud and the mud cloaks him, you know, because the predator's using his heat vision, the blood, it cloaks him. I'm thinking, but your eyes, close your eyes for fuck's sake. It's just, it's a bit of nonsense, isn't it? You know, you've got to go with it. But every time I see it, I'm like, yeah, there's no way it's covering 100%. You are not now the same temperature as the ground that you're on.
No, and that's like the Goldfinger thing, isn't it, as well, when the body gets covered in gold and all that thing.
But you're right. Can't breathe. The,
yeah. So I agree with that. But I do think as a way to sort of level of playing field, I can go with it. And I'm sure you're the same. You still go with it in the movie because, like, then he sort of thinks, well, I can't beat him in a one-on-one physical fight. However, I might be able to sort of use my environment, use the skills I've got. And it's like a subconscious thing as the audience take along. It's not like one of these things where he hasn't got the skills from the start. Like you said a minute ago, these are the elite, aren't they? These are the best of the best, you know? So I do like that scene. And one of the scenes that I do like is when the Predator actually gets hold of him and has him round the neck and he's looking at him. And you're thinking, what the fuck's going on? And obviously, there's the old, you know, do it now bit and all that stuff. It just happened. It's when you realize that the Predator's like, he just wants a worthy adversary to fight against. And then he takes, I know he has to take his stuff anyway, he takes all the stuff off because he's a bit injured. And then they go on this battle. I mean, I'll be honest, Dave, there's a bit of Superman 3 about some of the throws that Arnie's going. You know, when Superman fights himself in the fucking, and it's Superman against Clark, and it's a fair enough, he's throwing him all over, but obviously he's still got that Superman fucking strength and resistance to pain, whereas Arnie's getting thrown around, and there's no mention of the shoulder. He can now, I mean, that's like a proper double shot across his shoulder. He wouldn't be able to move his arm, but he can now all of a sudden he can, and then he's got like the 18 traps out, and he's made the, I mean, he's put a fucking massive tree trunk up and everything, like unbelievable the thing he's done. Well, how has he lifted that?
What was the Predator doing all this time, by the way, when he set
that's what I mean. He's sat there having a sleep or having fucking tea and crumpets polishing or something. It's bizarre, isn't it?
He was polishing his skulls, wasn't he? Polishing his trophies.
I think so, maybe.
That wasn't a euphemism, by the way.
Maybe he's having an alien wank. I don't know. Get a bit of frustration out. But I do like it all at the end. And I like the fact that there's a payoff to it. And also, I do. You said about Arnie's acting. I do think there's one good bit in the movie is when, with his acting especially, is when he's about to kill the Predator and he's got the rock above his head and he's got all the green goo coming out, Annie, and he replicates Arnie's voice. And Arnie just looks at him and goes, "What the hell are you?" or something like that. But he's sort of looking then as if to say, "I don't need to kill you. You're dying. You know, I've done what I need to do. I've beat you in this battle by his wits more than his strength." And I like that sort of respect between them both. That's there. You know, if that makes sense. You know, I know it's a bit thingy, but there is that little bit there at the end that I quite enjoy.
Yeah, and we sort of skipped past as well when you get the reveal when you were saying about he's holding Arnie up or Dutch, and he wants that worthy adversary, so he takes the mask off. And you get to see for the first time the Predator's face. Now, I don't know if you spotted this in the trivia, Chris, but James Cameron actually had a bit of an influence on this. So the guy, what was his name? Something Winston was on a plane apparently, and he was sketching out some designs for the Predator. And James Cameron sort of had a look at it. And he says, I always wanted to see something with mandibles, which are these things, you know, the jaw type things that you get on insects. So that's what basically, that's what sort of gave him the inspiration. And he started sketching that. So, James Cameron basically designed the iconic Predator look.
And it is a look because you know exactly when you see it, like the alien, you know exactly what that is, don't you? It's Predator, you know what I mean? So, that's interesting trivia. I've not even read
Stan
that.
Stan Winston, his name was. He was the sort of designer and stuff. But, yeah, it looks absolutely amazing. But to be fair, I kind of like the mask as well for the Predator. Just very, very simple, but such a great look. And when he does take his mask off, you get the iconic. Again, the movie's so quotable, isn't it? But you're one ugly motherfucker.
Again, Arnie within his range, Dave. But this movie's a classic. And I think, like, the way it goes and you've got that jeopardy, you know what's going to happen. We've watched it so many times, but I just love it. I enjoy watching it all the way through. And as I say, as it's got older, I think it's got better because it stands the test of time a lot. Despite all the machismo and all the fucking, you know, the baby oil and all that, it's brilliant. And the ending, the ending's satisfying, isn't it? Because, like, obviously, Dutch is traumatized, but he does ultimately get rescued, which is good, you know. So I think the whole payoff of the movie at the end, it's good. It still definitely holds up for me.
You know, I sort of ruined it for you a little bit with Mac and Blaine. Well, part of the other thing. And this is a real nit to pick because I can kind of get over it. When he's trying to make the Predator go through the kind of kill zone and he's looking at this little trap that he's set and he's saying, do it, you know, kill me, come on. Then he stands in the exact correct spot where there's almost like an X on the floor. This is like a Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote sort of thing. Where, you know, you get this big tree trunk that just drops perfectly where the Predator's stood.
That's what I mean, yeah.
I'm like, come on. You know, at least, I think it was Poncho, wasn't it, who got taken out with the kind of lengthways log. You know, at least if it was something like that, you can understand, like, you know, it doesn't have to hit someone perfectly. But for the log to, he basically has to stand on X marks the spot, doesn't he? So
Exactly. Fucking, the probability is like winning the fucking lottery. Yeah.
In the middle of the jungle, he's right there. But yeah, like I say, the fact that he outruns a nuclear explosion to get away from the Predator as well. Just amazing the way it finishes. And just, we'll have to go back and watch the sequels as well. I've watched Predator 2 a few times. I know you mentioned Max before. I think Max absolutely loves Predator 2, but there's something about...
I don't mind Predator 2.
Yeah, there's something about the Predator in the jungle setting that is just perfect. Chris, obviously we're just the other side of Christmas. On the top of my Christmas tree, I don't have a fairy. I do have a Predator.
Oh, good work.
I should send you a picture, actually. He's just up there in the trees. So, I just think it's great the way this movie finishes, but I'm still longing a little bit more for something great as a sequel. In fact, have you seen that Prey?
Yeah.
I think that's not bad at all, you know, and Predators as well, I quite like. So, I just feel like the way this movie sets things up, the franchise could have been better. But in terms of iconic characters, iconic villains and adversaries, I think there aren't many better than the Predator.
No, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So, should we get into our scores, Dave?
Let's go.
So, Dave, absolutely great picks, Argy, but honestly, cracking movie. All-time iconic Arnie film. 80s, the VHS cover, pop culture, he's got everything that we said, you know, what to do when the VHS Strikes Back was created. So it's absolutely perfect. I still love it. Like I said, we've cooed over it. We've took the mick a little bit and walked through some of the things, but it's still absolutely class movie. Arnie is just so good. He's at his peak here. He looks amazing. The jeopardy with the Predator. The Predator's bigger than him. It looks more imposing, you know, despite him being probably a match for any man on the earth, how they portray Dutch. He isn't when an alien gets involved, you know, and all that. And he's got to use some of his skills to get out of it. Some of it's a little bit dodgy, as we've just said, and a bit convenient, but we go with it. So I'm sending it to Cloud City, Dave. You can't send it anywhere else for me. It's just an absolute classic, iconic Arnie movie. I love it.
Yeah, and despite the fact, you know, it's not a perfect movie, you know, pick some nits here and there, but I think this is fantastic. And honestly, I could watch this over and over again. It gets better every time I watch it, and I spot, you know, more little things. It's got everything for me, everything that I want to see in a movie. So it has, you know, your action, it's got your cheesy lines, it's got your machismo, it's got your action, I've already mentioned action, your sci-fi, a bit of horror, but not too much horror. So I think it's just fantastic. Your Arnie one-liners, the music, we've not touched on the music that much, but Alan Silvestri did it this, and I think it's just fantastic. Again, one of those really iconic tracks. I just think it's amazing. So yeah, probably no prizes, like I said before, for guessing where I'm going to send this one, but this is Cloud City all day long.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant stuff, Dave. And yeah, it had to go there. We love it. Love it. So next week, Dave, it is a Patreon pick, and it is the legend that is Mr. Tony Farina. And what is he going to pick for us this time, Dave? And I did allude to it's an Arnie double bill. It wasn't intentional, but that's the way it's gone. So what are we doing?
Well, we've just done Arnie in the 80s, and this is going to be Arnie in the 90s. And actually, I haven't watched this one for years, and it's going to be interesting to go back, because I kind of feel like this is maybe this was Arnie coming to the end of his kind of stardom, you know, where he was basically one of the biggest action stars in Hollywood. And I think his light was starting to fade around this time. But I think this film might be a little bit misjudged. But it is going to be an Arnie double bill. And this is, Chris, Last Action Hero. Now let's get into the trailer.
A great classic comes to the screen.
Stay thy hand, fair prince.
Who said I'm fair?
Be or not to be. Not to be.
See, he went Terminator 2 straight into this. 1993, this was. You're off the... Jack Slater.
Terminator 2 is 91, wasn't it?
91, sorry. So, yeah, two years later. That's Tina Turner.
Oh, yeah.
And Danny Madigan is his biggest fan.
Jack Slater 4.
But tonight, a magic ticket.
It's a passport.
I call it a bit of a big theme here.
We'll get Danny big closer to the action.
Forgot all that.
Than anyone ever dreamed.
Who the hell are you?
Don't shoot me. I'm Danny Madigan. I'm a kid.
And you're going with him.
Who is this port? And where
that's
is that
Terminator 2.
Yeah,
there, the bridge.
To a world that's bigger than life.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, I remember that.
It really works.
Yeah. And better than real.
You really believe that you're inside a
bridge? That's a bit weird.
Oh my, that's what
Helga. It's Helga there, Dave.
The dream Helga moment, wasn't it?
Have a nice day. Have him
killed. Charlie Dance.
Yeah.
This summer, it's head-on thrills.
I have killed people smarter and younger than you.
Sound like Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
Excitement.
I hate when it happens.
He's got the ticket.
Now I possess power. Real power.
He's gone over.
In this world, the bad guys can win.
The door must still be open. Come on.
If I go, how do I get back?
And it's coming at you from both sides of the screen.
Where am I now?
This isn't the movies anymore, Jack. Please be careful. Things were different here.
Damn it, that hurt.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is Jack Slater.
This hero stuff has its limits.
Jack Slater is...
Everybody down! Now!
The Last Action Hero. The big ticket for 93.
I'll be back. You did not gonna say that, did you?
That's what you always say.
I do?
I think we're going to like this, you know. I think it's going to be underrated.
Yeah.
This one, definitely.
I mean, it didn't go down that well at the time, did it? But I don't know. I just feel like it's probably just a little bit before its time. And, I was one of them. I it didn't really land with me. But I know Tony's a big fan. So, honestly, Chris, I can't wait to go back to this one.
No, I'm looking forward to this one, definitely. As always, guys, massive thank you for your support. Great pick, Sarge, as well. Cracking movie, Predator. And can't wait for next week. So if you want to support us, get over to patreon.com/... The VHS Strikes Back. I nearly said our other podcast. if you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. And we actually have an email, Dave, as well, from one of our listeners, Gretchen, who's came over from the CD Reality Cast. So thank you. And it's a great email talking about Ferris Bueller, Dave. So I'm just going to give this one a read. So she's put, "Hi, guys. I've been listening to your reality TV podcast for about a year, but only recently discovered your VHS one." Read that wrong. Chris, come on. "Discovered your VHS podcast after one of you almost mistakenly said something about VHS at the startup of the reality one." Probably me. "I decided to do a little search and came up with this one. I enjoy your takes and I've listened to so many of the reality podcasts. I feel like you're my friend, so I'm now going through all the old episodes of the VHS one." Oh, no. "I finished Ferris Bueller, firstly. I agree with almost all your takes on it. About 6 months ago, I decided to watch it with my then 12-year-old daughter. I'm trying to introduce her to the classics. I remember when I first watched the movie, it was my 11th birthday and we just moved to a new town and didn't have many friends yet. So for my birthday, my mom went to the video store and rented me a released movie to watch. It was Ferris Bueller. I loved it. I can't say I watched it tons more through the years, but I did a few times. Fast forward, no pun intended, to watching it with my daughter. I just feel like Chris did. I wish I'd left it in the past because I did not feel good about it this time round at all. I also agree with Dave that it was a lot of it was just dull or slow. I found so much of it ridiculous. I also felt for Rooney and felt so sad for Cameron and his life, like it seriously got me down. Maybe that's my maternal instincts kicking in. Now, here's the kicker. We weren't even very far into the movie and we're at the scene where Cameron is pretending to be Sloane's father and Ferris is being verbally and physically abusive to him. I was sitting there silently cringing and already having second thoughts about showing it to my daughter. She then paused the movie and said, 'This is a toxic relationship,' obviously referring to Ferris and Cameron. I was stunned, but also proud and happy that she recognised that. We only made it through half of the movie before it was clear that she was bored and I was still cringing. She absolutely was not taken with it. She hated how horrible and manipulative Ferris was and saw all of the holes in everything. I just wanted to share that because I was so recently did a rewatch of it and had the similar thoughts as you guys. Thanks a lot, Gretchen from Austin, Texas." So, Brian, she's put in brackets, "Yes, you have female listeners." So thank you so much, Gretchen. And I think that's one of the things when you watch these movies, like that's why I think I have that problem with Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters, because he's just a fucking bellend. He's a dick and he's a and we're supposed to be trying it on with that girl at the start who's about fucking 18. It's just like, nope. But at the time when we were younger, it was like, yeah. And Ferris, I love Ferris Bueller. Actually, I've got the collector's edition, but I've not watched it since we covered it, Dave, since then. I just really struggle with it. So, no, great email.
Yeah, and I know I'm probably repeating myself, but like I say, we were younger when we were watching this stuff. There were other adults who were around watching this stuff and like, oh, boys will be boys. And just so much wrong shit that was going on. And no one said anything. So, yeah, it is pretty mad. And we never expected to go down this route, did we? I mean, Ferris Bueller was quite a while ago now. I can't quite remember. I'm glad you said I found it boring, apparently, but I've almost forgot what I thought about it. I just remember that, you know, we were both a little bit underwhelmed and it wasn't what my memory was sort of telling me it was. And I think, you know, the fact that we poke a bit of fun at some of these movies and then we look at them more critically, you know, years and years later, it just throws up these weird little things, doesn't it, where Ferris Bueller, just absolute tool, and yet worshipped as this like 80s icon to aspire to.
Which is mad because it was just everything I wanted. I used to love that movie so much. So I suppose it shows how you change and grow up and if you have kids and whatever. So yeah, because if Jordan had a friend like that, Dave, I'd fucking be booting him out the door. You know what I mean? He'd be like, nope, ain't coming in. Oh, well, she's 23 now. He'd fucking say, "I have a friend who I want, Dad." But when she was younger, Dad would have been like, nope, you don't come in. But anyway, so Dave, we've kept talking. We've gone through all the motion and everything. What are you going to take us out with, as if I don't already know?
Well, I'm curious. Out of all the quotable lines, I don't actually know what you think I'm going to do, but I'm not going to play as out.
You're not a sexual Tyrannosaurus. Yeah.
Well, as I established earlier, I do think Blaine's overcompensated there by his claims. But no, I was going to play us out to Predator the Musical, Chris.
It's using the trees, watching and waiting, killing us off one by one. The chopper is close, but this thing is too fast. We won't make it, it's pointless to run. Talk, no more games.
I don't know what it was. The jungle came alive.
Go on.
It happened very fast, not easy to describe. But you must have wounded it, unless my eyes deceive. When the big man was killed, its blood was on the leaves.
If it bleeds, we can kill it. She discovered the key. There is proof we can wound it. So repeat after me. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Here now, take a stand.
Here now, take a stand.
We can bring down this bastard.
We can bring down this bastard.
If we stick to the plan.
If it bleeds,
we can kill it.
Something's out there.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Waiting for us.
Two or three men out there at the most. Am I the only one who's awake? I don't believe in goblins or ghosts. Fucking listen, give me a break.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
An expendable asset.
Yeah, now take a stand.
I woke up, why don't you?
So instead of complaining,
young bullshit's not gonna
you should
work.
Give us a hand.
I got nothing better to do.
I saw it, goddammit. Those eyes, they disappeared. It cut down my friend and it ran while I emptied that gun. If it bleeds, we can kill it. I saw it, goddammit.
Stop shaving, you don't have a beard.
That thing'll come back, and when it does, I'm gonna have me some fun.
If it bleeds,
if it bleeds,
I'm gonna have me some fun.
If it bleeds, if it bleeds,
if it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
We can pull out the wind.
We can pull out the wind.
Set a trap for the monster.
Set a trap for the monster.
While we still have our skin.
While we still have our skin.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Three men out there.
I believe it can fall. When you're feeling down hard, just remember the call. If it bleeds, we can kill it. If it bleeds, I can kill it. Now it's all up to me. Mud all over my body, so the bastard can't see. It's a solo campaign now.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Get revenge for my men.
Get around.
Hawkins, Mac, and Ramirez.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Billy, Dylan, and Blaine.
Build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
You up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're
stupid.
Crazy
something.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months. Come on.
I must break you.